If Home is Where You Are by Tora Kowalski, read by Night Tracer, fandom Les Mis, pairing Enjolras Grantaire. Enjolras! Courfeyrac calls from outside Enjolras' office. Oh, Enjolras! Enjolras asks, concentrating hard on the email he's drafting. Enjolras! Courfeyrac calls again, dragging it out so it's less a name and more a song. There is a gentleman caller for you. Take a message. Enjolras starts before he realizes that this is Corf. And not just a usual level of Corf, but a Corf who has been spending a lot of time with Jehan. A gentleman caller doesn't mean a gentleman who is calling to speak to Enjolras. It means... He jumps up from his desk, smacking his knee on the underside, but doesn't stop to rub it or even to swear. In the office across the corridor, Grantaire is sitting on the corner of Courfeyrac's desk. He's talking to Courfeyrac, laughing about something, but his eyes are on the doorway. As soon as he sees Enjolras, he stands up and puts down the glass of water that he was holding. Hi, Enjolras says, swallowing hard, wondering if he's dreaming. You're back. Hi, Grantaire echoes. He meets Enjolras halfway, half in Corf's office and half in the corridor. I do seem to be back. His skin is tanned, and the ends of his dark curls are bleached lighter from the sun. There are a dozen little fabric bracelets around his wrists, and the edge of a new tattoo is peeking over the collar of his washed thin t-shirt. He's so gorgeous that Enjolras can barely stand to look at him, but definitely can't bring himself to look away. I thought next week, Enjolras says, too overwhelmed to construct a full sentence. Grantaire shrugs, graceful and fluid, not the jerky hitch of shoulders that Enjolras is used to. I could have gone to Spain, but I decided I'd rather come home. Enjolras licks his lips, nervous. I'm glad, Grantaire says. He smiles with his hand on the back of Enjolras' wrists. Does the weary traveller get a kiss? Of course, Enjolras says, but he can't stop staring. He lifts his hands and catches hold of a stray curl that has fallen across Grantaire's face. Your hair's grown. Grantaire ducks his head and leans into Enjolras' touch. I know, it's ridiculous. I got dreads in Australia, and when I took them out, it was all like this. It suits you. Enjolras says. Behind them, he's vaguely aware of Courfeyrac smothering a cough or a laugh, or, knowing him, a coup. But he doesn't care. Courfeyrac is learning poetry in order to be more romantic. He can't judge Enjolras for a conversation. Hey, Grantaire says, looking up at Enjolras uncertainly. If you don't want to kiss me, I'll... Enjolras answers him by pressing their mouths together. It's just a peck to start with, just dry lips together. It's been 7 months, and Enjolras thinks he wants to take his time, but then Grantaire makes a quiet, wanting sound, and Enjolras suddenly needs to get closer. He slides his hand into Grantaire's hair, holding him still, and licks his way between Grantaire's lips. Grantaire shudders and sways into Enjolras' hold, curling his arms around Enjolras' shoulders, holding on tight. Enjolras clutches him back, hands falling to Grantaire's hips, until they're kissing and clinging onto each other, hardly more than a millimetre of space anywhere between them. It's been so long. Enjolras has followed Grantaire's trip around the world via tweets and Facebook and texts, middle-of-the-night Skype conversations, but none of that has been a substitute for touching, for how badly Enjolras has wanted to feel Grantaire's arms around him again. Okay, Courfeyrac says, laughing and fond at the same time. This is lovely, really. I've taken so many pictures, but Enjolras, people are staring. Okay, you're not stopping. Well, could you just... Hands land on Enjolras' arm, guiding him carefully, and Enjolras follows them, bringing Grantaire with him, until the wooden floor under his feet becomes carpet again. He hears a door close. When he slits his eyes open to peek over Grantaire's shoulder, he finds that Courfeyrac has somehow maneuvered them into Enjolras' office, and closed the door to give them privacy. He laughs, kissing Grantaire again. You're terrible for my work image, he says. your work image at your hipster pro bono bleeding heart law firm? Grandpa asks. He slides in closer still and rests his head on Enjolras' shoulder. Don't even try. I make you look so much cooler. Maybe, Enjolras allows, even though the answer is definitely yes. There's a whole group of interns who crowd into Enjolras' office every time Grantaire sends him a new, hand-drawn postcard. And he knows that a couple of the partners have been reading Grantaire's travel blog. Grantaire squeezes him tighter, kisses his neck. Sorry I left you, he says. No, Enjolras says immediately. He thinks about the Grantaire who went away, pale and exhausted, 3 months sober, and suffering through every second. 7 months of a cold, empty bed is a small price to pay for this whole and happy person who's back in his arms at last. No, he repeats softer, but thank you for coming back to me. Grantaire lifts his head and leans up to kiss the corner of Enjolras' mouth. Any time, he says. Always. The end. Thank you for listening. Even Halfway Seems So Far by Tora Kowalski. Read by Night Tracer. Fandom, Les Mis. Pairing, Enjolras Grantaire. Enjolras begs out of work as soon as he can stop kissing Grantaire long enough to find Valjean. Valjean shakes his head at him fondly and sends him home, but not before he's cornered Grantaire and made him promise to stop by again soon. They put Grantaire's giant rucksack on a seat between them on the metro, but then Grantaire leans most of the way across it to talk to Enjolras anyway. Enjolras can't stop staring at him. Grantaire has the sort of face that gets more handsome the longer you look at it. At least that's what Enjolras has found. Enjolras intends to look at him for a long time yet. What? Grantaire asks, breaking off in the middle of a description of Venice by night. Do I have something on my face? He starts to lift his hand toward his mouth, but Enjolras grabs his wrist and stops him. A smile, he says, then ducks his head, embarrassed by his own sentimentality. Grantaire doesn't say anything for long enough that Enjolras has to look up at him. When he does, Grantaire is wearing the expression he wears when Enjolras has charmed him. Enjolras is generally very good at charming people, but his usual methods never work on Grantaire. He can never tell what will do it, but apparently being so in love, he loses control of his tongue works well. You are so weird, and I've missed you so much, Grantaire says, leading the rest of the way over his bag to press a kiss to the corner of Enjolras' mouth. Enjolras turns his head, catching him in a proper kiss. There are people on the metro with them, but they won't care, and if they do, well, fuck them. They get off the metro near Enjolras' apartment, but then Enjolras hesitates. Grantaire's apartment is an easy enough walk from here, too. He probably wants to go there. Please, can we go to yours? Grantaire asks, before Enjolras has voiced the question. I've been dreaming about your shower since Israel. I think Jehan finally fixed your shower, Enjolras offers, because he really should. Grantaire just rolls his eyes at him. Take me home, Enjolras, oh my god, he says, but he links his arm through Enjolras' and leans into his side, so he can't be that annoyed. Grantaire looks around the entrance hall to Enjolras' building like it's another wonder of the world. Fuck, this is weird, he says, dragging his bag behind himself as he follows Enjolras up the stairs. What is? Enjolras asks. Let me take your bag. Grantaire shakes his head. Being here, and nope, he says. He leans against Enjolras' door while Enjolras looks for his keys. His keys aren't usually hard to find, but Grantaire is distracting. I mean, it's good. It's great to be here, but it feels really surreal. Like I'll wake up tomorrow and find him back in New Zealand or wherever. I hope you won't, Enjolras says, then worries that sounds possessive. Unless you need to, of course. I wouldn't want to force you to... God, Grantaire says. He steps into Enjolras' space between Enjolras and the front door, just as Enjolras had managed to fit his keys into the lock. He puts his fingers on Enjolras' lips. Shh. But Enjolras tries. Grantaire presses his fingers harder, squashing Enjolras' lips slightly. Hi, Grantaire says, smiling at him in a way that looks helpless. Hi. I came home. Enjolras can't help the choked noise he makes, the way he forgets everything except the need to get his mouth back onto Grantaire's. Grantaire's fingers get the first kiss, but then Grantaire drops them down to Enjolras' throat, and the next kiss lands where it should. They kiss until Enjolras' elderly, long-suffering neighbour shuffles out of her apartment. They keep kissing as she passes them to get to the rubbish chute, and are still kissing when she makes her way back. She stops beside them. So, you're back then? She says, looking up at Grantaire. Grantaire isn't tall, but she's easily a foot shorter than him. Yes, madame, Grantaire says, his smile split equally between her and Enjolras. I'm back. Good, she says, nodding and shuffling off again. This one comes home too late from work, when you're not here. Wakes my cats. I'm sorry, Enjolras tries, but she's already disappeared back inside her apartment. Grantaire snorts out a laugh, which turns into disbelieving cackles. Oh my god! he says, hiding his face in Enjolras' collarbone and still laughing. It feels wonderful. Oh my god, we have to tell everyone. Later, Enjolras says, suddenly unable to bear the thought of sharing Grantaire yet. He slides his hand around Grantaire's waist. Let me have you to myself for a while, first. Long as you want, Grantaire says, and drapes himself over Enjolras' side, while Enjolras finally gets the door open. The end. Thank you for listening. Be strong and hold on to the picture. By Tora Kowalski. Read by Night Tracer. Fandom, Les Mis. Notes. Another scene from the Home is Where You Are series, set before the other two, while Grantaire is still on his round-the-world trip. Enjolras can't sleep. His phone is in his hand, set to vibrate with the sound turned up high. But every time he feels himself dozing, he jerks awake, convinced he's missed a call. It would be easier if he could text Grantaire, just to check that he was okay. But Enjolras doesn't want it to look as though he mistrusts him. Besides, asking Grantaire to check in with him every 5 minutes would be ridiculous. Reassuring, but ridiculous. The alarm clock by Enjolras' bed beats once on the hour. Every hour. He's never been able to get it to stop, and neither has anyone he's asked. Foley once got it to play a little song instead, but that wasn't any better. After the third time, Enjolras has heard the hourly chime. He sits up in bed, pulls on the sweatshirt tucked under his pillow, and he camps the living room. He keeps his phone clutched in his hand, the pocket of the sweatshirt feeling too far away. There's a full moon tonight, and it washes the chairs, the TV, the bookcases with a surreal silver light. Enjolras blames that for the fact that he sees a figure curled up on the nearest sofa and lets out a startled yelp. The figure uncurls and resolves itself into Jehan. He's wrapped in a duvet, his hair tied in two long plaits down either side of his head. Hi, he whispers, patting the other sofa cushion. Okay? Hi, Enjolras whispers back. Normally, he'd be hesitant about sitting down. He and Jehan don't always know how to click with each other, without Grantaire or Courfeyrac there to act as interpreter. But it's easier in the dark. Here, have some blanket, Jehan says. He spreads a corner of his duvet across Enjolras' knees and leans back against the armrest, looking sleepy. Can't you sleep? Enjolras asks. It's a stupidly obvious question, but it should still get him the answer he wants. Jehan holds up his phone. He's clutching it in a very similar way to how Enjolras is clutching his. Our little duckling is doing a scary thing, he says. Enjolras breathes out shakily. Yeah, he says, in a rush, relieved. I don't think he knows it's scary, though. Grantaire had sounded so easily casual over Skype earlier. He'd been tanned from the California sun, telling Enjolras about the new friends he'd made, and adding at the end, and they're taking me to Coachella tonight. He'd said it like it was nothing, like he wasn't going to be surrounded by alcohol and drugs with nowhere to hide if it got too much. Jehan laughs quietly. He knows it's scary, he says confidently. Not sure he knows how scared we are, though. Angelas nods. He picks up the edge of the duvet and fiddles with the poppers, holding it closed. It's Corviax, of course. A Monsters, Inc. one Angelas remembers from when they were still at school. It's not that I don't trust him, he says in a rush. That's important for someone to know, even if it's Jehan and not Grantaire. No, Jehan agrees. It's just... Angelas realizes he hasn't been holding his phone for the past minute and picks it up quickly, checking the screen, then banging it gently against his knee when there's no message. He trails off. It's just that you love him and want to make things easy for him, Jehan says. Angelas closes his eyes.
Yes.
There's a rustle of fabric and then Jehan's head rests heavily on Angelas' shoulder. Angelas automatically puts an arm around him. He feels completely unlike Grantaire, but he smells the washing powder they both use and the cigarette they both smoke. It helps. You're wearing our sweatshirt, Jehan says. It doesn't sound like an accusation. He sounds pleased, but Angelas still blushes, glad it's hidden in the dark.
Yes, he says.
He props his chin on the top of Jehan's head.
What time is it?
3, Jehan says without checking.
Still early in California,
Angelas says. It's going to be a long night. Good job we don't have anywhere to be in the morning, Jehan says. He yawns and hides it in Angelas' shoulder.
Only work, Angelas thinks, but it's the same for Jehan, so he doesn't say it.
They sit there quietly for a long moment, taking it in turns to check their phone screens, occasionally waving their phones around to check for signal. Grantaire doesn't call. Angelas tries to convince himself that that's good, that if he was having what he calls a wobble, he'd reach out to one of the two of them first. When he gets back, I'd do something terrible to him, Jehan says at one point. The last time Angelas checked his phone, it was 5:20.
Like what?
Angelas asks. He's so tired, he thinks he may be slurring. Cover him in honey. Make him watch the X Factor auditions with the really bad singers.
Angelas laughs. Serves him right,
he agrees. Jehan hums. There's a soft tread of footsteps behind the sofa, and then Corfiak's hand brushes the side of Angelas' neck. He's pretty sure Corfiak's other hand is somewhere on Jehan.
Hey, there you both are, he says.
He sounds tired too, but the other side of tired, the one that happens after sleep.
Are you stepping out on me, Jean Prouvaire?
Jehan agrees, reaching back for him.
We're having a torrid affair on the sofa.
Thought so, Corviak agrees. He climbs over the back and settles himself on Jehan's other side. Angelas expects Jehan to transfer his head from Angelas' shoulder to Corviak's, but he doesn't. Everyone okay out here? Corviak asks, deliberately casual.
Fine, Angelas says, at the same time that Jehan says,
we're having a worry party.
Sounds fun, Corviak says.
It's getting light now. He's pretty obviously frowning.
Please don't tell Grantaire, Angelas says.
Grantaire is keeping in touch with all their friends while he travels. He and Corviak definitely gossip about Angelas sometimes. Corviak smiles at both of them. My little worry bees, he says, which isn't a promise at all. He holds out his hand. Give me your phones. Jehan holds his out, but Angelas hesitates, until Corfiak raises an eyebrow, creepily reminiscent of Confer. Then he hands his over too. Corfiak sets both phones down on his lap and pets them like they're kittens. Okay, I'm going to keep an eye on both of these, so you two can close your eyes for a little while. Sound like a plan? Angelas feels as though he should argue. He's so tired, though.
You'll wake us if he calls, he asks.
Or even if he texts, or... I'll even keep an eye on Twitter, Corfiak promises. He leans across Jehan to kiss Angelas' cheek, then settles back and kisses Jehan's mouth. Go to sleep. Angelas' insides are still heavy with worry, but Jehan is warm against him and he trusts Corfiak completely. Somewhere across the world, Grantaire might be having a good time.
Enjolras holds on to that hope, and he lets himself doze. The end. Thanks for listening.